Hello, Lauren. Good morning.
Hey, Dr. Estella.
And how are we this morning?
New Edge Got In podcast. Here we go. This is.
I'm excited.
It's so great because it totally comes from our conversation. I mean, the topic for today just came from a conversation. I'm coming up on turning 50 on July 5th. And I was just contemplating the gratitude I have for another year of life after going through advanced cancer. It's kind of a different perspective. Every year is worth celebrating. And it really, we were just reflecting on just the whole aging process and how our culture is restricts and refuses to accept with grace the aging process and seeing the benefits of the aging process. Everything is that's a universal quantifying statement. many things are clamoring for our attention to stay young in many ways. And there's also captivity. It's Galatians 5:1 that our Edge God In Ministries is built upon. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the slavery.
I know. And you know, when we were putting and talking about this, it was just so apropos because we had just finished, listeners, if you don't know, we've just kind of revamped some of our old studies on emotional intelligence. And, we thought this would really fit in well to some pieces of that, like the self-awareness and self-management piece. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we wanted to do is, first of all, welcome to the podcast go on to our website, download our Bible study guide. It's www.edgegotin. And, follow along with us. I know, as Lauren was saying, there's kind of this, another reason why we thought this, or I thought it was good too, is there's this new culture being formed in regards to aging. And aging is thought to present, problems to the person who's aging as well as those that care for them. So a major shift really has changed in our culture. At one point, our elderly were looked upon as a blessing, and now they're kind of looked at upon as a burden. And this big search, and we know this, and I am guilty of this as well, for this fountain of youth is surfacing in just about every form. I mean, plastic surgery, even unfortunately, assisted suicides for some of the elderly. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of our world has really, really shifted, especially in America, where taking care of the aging was a part of our life. And mm-hmm. In many places of the world, like China, I was reading about China, and they look at aging as one of the most respectful stages of life. Mm. And there's a story I'll share with you if we have time about that fits well right into that. But anyway, where have we gone wrong? At this point, it's getting to the point where what have we gone wrong? Where we want to alter ourselves, where we want to look so different. And I'm not throwing stabs or anything out to anyone that wants to do faceless or anything like that, because, I can't say that I wouldn't necessarily do that. But I just want to say that God is, we need to lean on not our own understanding of age, but leaning more on His. Mm. So let's start with some prayer, and we let God lead us into how He wants this Bible study to bless us and others. Heavenly Father, I come to you asking that our eyes are opened and a renewed appreciation for beauty in all stages of life occur through this Bible study. I ask that you are present, and that we're able to represent your word in a way that empowers change and understanding, support, and acceptance for those who need it. I also ask that we are continually blessed in this Bible study and Edge God In, and that you bless our listeners, and that the words of our mouth bring about an abundance of healing, understanding, and most of all, that we win more saints into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen.
So again, our topic, and activate age grace, how to activate aging grace. So it's an action word, right, Lauren?
Oh, yeah.
I love that. You know, we want to move. Lauren and I like to move. We're moving. Yeah. We're going to move through this. We're going to activate this aging process, our activation.
We need it. It is a grace issue. I mean, grace is a gift given that's you know, not deserved or earned. It's simply a gift given. And particularly when the world screams and God whispers in the midst of this fountain of youth pursuit to the point where we are losing our sense of identity and the shiny objects of the mirror. And I recall a time when I remember I was when I was going through the experience of cancer and just losing my breasts and my hair. And I just spent, you know, some time looking, you know, couldn't believe what I was seeing in the mirror, just the loss of physical appearance and eyebrows, eyelashes. I looked like Casper the Ghost and I didn't recognize my physical appearance. And my mom said something really profound. She said, you know, there's many cultures that don't believe in cameras or mirrors because they believe that it robs the soul of its true identity. Basically, it's a distraction of our true identity. And so I ended up covering my mirrors for several days, for 3 days, to regain my internal game with God, to be able to resurrect my sense of who am I in the Lord? Who does God say that I am? And what is my true identity? And my identity in Christ, Galatians 2:20, I've been put to death with Christ on the cross. So it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so as I reestablished that image, I remember praying on the third day after, you know, before taking the sheets down, dear God, help me to have the eyes to see and to remember that I am first and foremost your child, and I'm beautifully and wonderfully made, not because of the exterior image I see in the mirror. And the sheet came down, and I remember my getting 2 inches from the mirror and looking at my eyes, and the first thing I said is, wow, God, thank you for giving me such bright green eyes. And I never noticed the color of my eyes before it with all my big hair and big eyebrows and eyelashes. It's like all you have is eyes. It's like, thanks for my eyes. So it's really an opportunity again, because this is perfect. As we were talking, Stella and I were talking, you know, we just completed the first level of EQ, emotional intelligence, self-awareness, self-management. How well are we aware of our own emotional state, and how well do we manage our emotional state in the midst of you know, the calls of the world.
You know, it's interesting too, because this Bible study can go a lot of different ways. I mean, we could have part one, part two with grace, with aging and how to accept the way we look. So it could be the physical, it could be the mental, the spiritual. It's so many ways you can go in talking about how we need to lean upon God when it comes to that. I love that story about taking away a mirror, because and I love the story about the eyes, because to me the eyes are a reflection of the soul. You know, there's so much substance in people's eyes, and we don't take a lot of time to really pay attention to that. You know, we are so busy paying attention to the hair, the makeup, these things that as we grow older and as we know people become less and less important.
Absolutely. You know, just that kind of springboards into 3 points worth reflection. And perhaps we will, depending on the time. We want to honor the time for your time for this podcast. So perhaps we will have a continuation, a part two of this.
Because I think so.
This is definitely worth our attention, ladies.
And gentlemen.
Men are getting more involved with the Botox and different modalities to keep the face looking young too. And again, we come at this not from a place of any judgment,
no,
or dictation, or telling, but really from a place of invitation for reestablishing your identity in the midst of the expectations on the aging process. And again, it takes aging grace. So Stella, tell us about what are 3 main things?
Well, there's some things. Okay, so first, I think that one of the things we first need to do is think about are we living in the flesh or in the spirit when we're talking about this? There, God's way, he talks about how we are to grow old and we are, and he says we should grow old and develop a walk with him. Psalm 71:18 says, now also when I am old and gray head and God of God, oh God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. So basically this was an old man. That's just a little history about this person in Psalms. They're not sure who for sure is the author of it, but they said this person was old in age and he still was praising God. Mm-hmm. And the reason this old man was able to handle his problem so well was that he had developed a walk with God. And in the years to come, not only did he develop this walk with God because he had been so close with him throughout his life, but he also realized the power he still had in showing the power of God to everyone else. So it's just amazing. There's other stuff that talks about it in the Bible. It says the Bible presents aging as a normal process, as a natural part of life. It's an honor. Proverbs 16:31 talks about that. It speaks to the benefits of gray hair. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. Mm. It also in James, it says, God wants us to remember the life is short. This is not, we get carried away with how we're here and how long we're here. But God, James 4:14 talks about life is short. And also it talks about in Proverbs 31:30 and 1 Peter 1:24 that the beauty of youth is soon gone. So we are to this natural process of aging, first of all, is something that happens. So I think one of the things we need to do is learn a couple of things, and then there's some things. So we'll go into what we should probably learn, and then next go into five ways we need to activate grace. So maybe we can
split that up, Stella. Okay. Maybe we can really focus about on the first part of this, and this is posted at edgegotin.com. You can print it out, but just to chunk it down because it's definitely worth our mindful reflection.
Oh my gosh.
On this, and to really ask ourselves some really powerful reflective questions. Mm-hmm. We'll end this particular section with a few really, really powerful self-reflection questions that you can write down, reflect on, and then we'll continue with a part two of
picking it back up. Yeah. Okay. I think so too.
Picking it back up. But I just wanted to tail on what you said, because James 4:14 is a very, very powerful verse. To actually memorize what, and this is, he's speaking about just reminding the people, what is your life? You'll say you'll go here or there or do this thing or that thing. Your life is but a breath that appears today and poof, you're gone tomorrow.
Oh, literally,
your life is a vapor. I mean, there's so many expressions of, whoop, there I go. This is just such a quick experience of you in this world.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. And you know what? The thing about that, if we think about that, that focus on ourselves and how we look can easily go away if we focus on just James 4:14.
Absolutely.
We're a mist that appears Oof. For a little while yeah. and then vanishes.
There I go. How do I want to go in this moment? And so it really, I mean, deathbed wisdom is very powerful in terms of bringing perspective on what we, the finite game we play on a daily basis, rising and falling, depending on how the world judges us. So this is really an invitation to ask for that grace. Dear God, grant me the grace, the aging grace.
Yes,
the aging grace. With joy and gratitude. So what are some fuels?
So here's some of the fuels. And we are going to all know about these. This one, first one.
Yeah.
Vanity.
Shazam.
Oh my God. That is the biggest fuel. And you know what?
Vanities of all vanities.
I would say, he without sin cast the first stone. Listen, we all are vain. There's not a one of us. And God speaks of it. And God talked about it in Ecclesiastes 1.2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All vanity. Mm-hmm. We are born with the natural tendency to live for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're born for. And so because we're born to do that, our subject of concern is this vanity that we always throw out there, no matter what. How do I look? I look good. And then you start saying these self prophetic words. You're saying this to yourself, and I look better. It's the next thing than them. I do this better.
Then comparison slithers in. The devil has a heyday with that kind of stuff.
Oh my God.
Then comparison, envy, jealousy. I want what you have. I'm afraid you're going to take what I have away. All that.
Amen.
All that, the antics. But vanity, the definition of vanity is actually excessive pride in or admiration of one's own appearance or achievements.
Yes.
So it's important to break that down. I would write that definition down, that vanity is excessive pride, and just simply flip it to a question. Where in my life do I have excessive pride or focus or admiration, self-glorification of my own appearance or achievements?
Yes. And God also says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and haughty spirit before the fall. You have got to work on that, and we have got to work on that, because we don't want to fall. We want to make sure that goes away. And it's a hard one.
It
takes a lot of time to do that, because our world puts so much emphasis on that. But
on the vanity. Synonyms, just for listeners, synonyms of vanity are conceit, narcissism, self-love, self-absorption. When I'm looking at me, I can't see you. When I'm focused on me, I can't see you. So we're one of the biggest invitations that Jesus had for us is, you really want life? Do you really, really want that life that continually gives that joy and that peace beyond human understanding? You must die to self.
Amen.
Self-focus.
And here's the second one. Okay. And we've done this too. Our goal in beauty, our goal in life is beauty and youth. But God says our goal should be wisdom and knowledge.
Mm. Amen to that.
Oh my God. And you know what? It was so funny. I was in one time a store, and it was a spiritual store. I was going and looking for, it's kind of like a combination of Christian bookstore, but also, you know, the age, new age. And I walked in, and I was younger at the time. And this one guy came up to me, and he was what he calls a visionary. And he came up to me and says, "You know what? You have a lot of wisdom." And I took that very negatively at first. And he saw it in my expression. He says, "Oh no, wisdom is a good thing. Young people are blessed to have wisdom." And I thought about that. I thought, you are absolutely right. Because in Ecclesiastes 8:1, it says, "Who is like the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed." I was a changer
beautiful.
My wisdom, and I didn't realize it. That was a blessing that he bestowed upon me, and I took it as, "Oh, I'm old." And that's not the way.
Self reflection on your part.
Oh yeah. It just came to me. I'm like, you know, I was like, and so be blessed when you're told you have wisdom. You know, the Bible also, and there's a lot of scriptures that talk about aging and wisdom, and some of them say that. Are more preaching to people that haven't gotten it in old age. So we need to really realize that wisdom is a blessing, and the more we live and the more we walk with the Lord, our wisdom will grow.
Absolutely. And I'm reminded of, I think it's 1 Kings, when God asked Solomon, "What do you want?" Because he was pleased. "I'll give you anything. What do you want?" And Solomon said, and this is one of my daily prayers, "Dear God, grant me wisdom to guide your people." That's it. It's all I want.
Wisdom
to guide your people. Right. And that's all that Solomon asks. And God's response, of course, was, "Because you didn't ask for all the shiny objects," that, you know, we can even apply that to today, "because you didn't ask for a facelift, a body change, anything in the physical realm, riches, glorification, I'll give you wisdom and everything else along with it." So it really is an endearing exchange from our hearts to God's when we ask for wisdom and we step away from that vanity space. So what's the third one?
And the third one is Individualism. So what happens as we, especially now in America, as we grow older, we have lost the ability to care for those that are old. Mm-hmm. We feel like it's, and I mentioned this before, a burden. We feel like, oh, well, you know, we forget the sacrifice that our parents did for us. So Timothy 5:3-4 says, honor our parents. When we do this, we're honoring God. It says, honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is the pleasing in the sight of God. Mm. We have lost that, you guys. And I'm not throwing out stones to anyone. It is difficult being with someone that has aged, especially to the point where they have concomitant conditions but God says he'll bless you when you do that. I was truly blessed by the experience of taking care of my sick mom. And as a matter of fact, I'd give anything to have her here now to take care of her over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So, and my dad's the same way, but it takes understanding that this, you know, if there's beauty in doing some of that, the stories, the time to be still. Because when you're with someone like that, sometimes you have to be still and just let them talk and let them act and let them walk and let them get them to feel better. You're being still and listening and observing. You actually even honor and are grateful and thankful for the time you have for yourself. Mm. So it's this individualism has to really change in our world, because God wants us to please him, and he wants us to take care of our own.
You know, overlaying that with the template of our first two phases of emotional intelligence, one being aware of your emotions. So a question of reflection in all of these three points of vanity, too much self-concern, focus on me, I can't see you. A question to reflect upon is, what are those things in my life that I have given power to define who I am in this world? Mm-hmm. And so it's a simple question that requires just some uninterrupted time to go within your castle, pull up the drawbridges, mm-hmm. St. Teresa of Avila says, and rearrange the interior world and the connections that you've given to the outer world for your sense of self. Mm-hmm. So, we're coming to an end here to this particular Bible study. So mm-hmm. thank you to those people that have joined us. But re-listen to that question of self-reflection. What have you given power to the outside world to define your worth and value and your sense of beauty?
Amen. Amen.
So thank you for joining us.
Thank you. And thanks, Lauren, for all your insight. It was beautiful. And we'll just go on the site, pick up the download the episode, join our podcast, and also post something for us. Post your opinion on this. We want to learn from you as well.
Absolutely. And Father God, may you bless the work of our hearts and our hands. Grant us the grace to overcome ourselves. Grant us the grace to literally forget about ourselves. So what we focus on is the beauty of you within us and through us to be able to make a difference for the sake of salvation of souls. Give our soul permission by your grace to guide our flesh into our sense of identity, purpose, worth, and value. And help us to take time to reflect on those things outside of us, those shiny objects, those expectations that we're living under and imprisoned by. It is mm-hmm. freedom that you have set us free. Help us to stand firm and not allow ourselves to be burdened by this aging pressure. Grant us the grace to activate the identity that's found in you and doesn't depend on exterior circumstance or exterior expressions or beauty. In your most precious name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thanks, everyone.
All right, God bless, guys.
Bye.